Great art reveals the deeper truth in what otherwise seems like everyday stuff. And while there may never be a poem as lovely as a tree, an artistic rendering of that tree allows us to see the whole forest in a new way. That's what drew photographer John Rosenthal to his muse. Rosenthal is showing some of his work at the Tyndall Gallery at University Mall in Chapel Hill. We recently visited the gallery and spoke with John Rosenthal about a series of photos he's taken of paintings and sculpture on display at various museums and art galleries. Each photograph includes not only the artwork, but an art watcher who, in one way or another, interacts with the work.
This is called the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
And what we have is a classic sculpture. It's a woman. She is trying to cover herself up. She is uncovered at the top. Her breasts are exposed. She looks to be in some kind of distress and looking back over her shoulder. And then on a bench, completely oblivious to the statue, is a middle-aged man. He's reading the newspaper. He's maybe waiting for his wife, and he didn't want to come to the museum today, I'd say.
That's probably a good guess. It's interesting. When people go to museums, they tend to see things successively. They move from one work of art to the other. In fact, that's generally the way we actually walk through the world, is seeing things either consecutively or successively. The photographer, however, who is photographing things that are taking place, has a different obligation, and that is to see things simultaneously. And of course, that's part of the great democracy of the camera. In this instance, I saw a tension that existed between the classical distress that was captured in the beautiful marble statue and a kind of a drift over to the man engaged in reading the newspaper and having what I would call museum ennui, which lands on me after about 35 minutes in any museum. And I like the fact that the woman seems to be looking at him. And so there's a tension there, a tension between great classical distress and, let's say, modern boredom.
The great thing about these photographs is that you can't escape the relevance of art in everyday life. Art and life are related, at least through the eye of the photographer in this case.
And you know, the actual beauty of this sculpture is in fact enhanced or specified by the existence of the man's boredom. And that's one of the few ways that I found of being able to photograph art in museums and actually capturing, or at least attempting to capture, the significance of the art.
It's quite true. You find yourself wanting to defend that statue and say, no, it's more important than that. Whereas if he wasn't there looking as indifferent as he was, I might be looking pretty much the same way.
Nicely done.
I agree.
So here we have someone who's less engaged in the photo, but now you have a relationship that includes no humans at all. Follow me down here. I want you to talk about this one for me. Tell me about this one. What's the name of this photo?
This is called Edward Hopper at the Phillips Collection, and it is a photograph, a very simple composition. It's a photograph of a painting of Hopper's called Approaching the City, and it was painted at some point, I believe, early in Hopper's career, and he was standing on a railroad track in the edge of a city. I don't know what city, but certainly, a marginal part of a city, because it's only in marginal parts of the city that you can actually run railroads through people's houses. And he somehow decided that this was a worthy object for aesthetic consideration. And nobody, I believe, had ever really quite thought that something quite as homely as this contained a beauty. And he painted that, and he probably wasn't a very wealthy man when he did. But 75, 100 years later, this painting of this homely, marginal space is on the wall at the Phillips Collection, and in front of the painting are two stanchions connected by a velvet rope. And to me, this is the great cultural shift that somehow existed between the moment when Hopper painted the painting and at this point in time when we worship it and put marble, when we put brass rails in front of it. That's the pleasure that I took in the image.
not only do we glorify the photo, but the artist has really forced this upscale audience behind the velvet rope to pay attention to that marginal life. I mean, it's a real social, the painting itself was a look at society, but now we're forced to see the reaction and the response to a more upscale audience.
Yeah, isn't it? It seems comical to me in a way that that this painting of a tunnel entering into a city is set off in the kind of elite manner in which it is.
All right. Well, let's look at a little different view of the relationship of the art patron and the art. Take a walk with me down here and tell me about this one. More modern piece of art. Tell us about this one.
This photograph is called Autumn Rhythm Number 30 by Jackson Pollock, and it's an interesting photograph because you essentially are looking at the back of the head of a woman who is sitting, I assume, cross-legged in front of a bench. She's clearly on the floor in the position of an acolyte. And she's gazing upon the Pollock painting, which is an immense painting, but it appears that she's actually gazing at chaos.
Of course, by the time you took this photograph, Pollock was firmly established, and that form of art was firmly established. When he began to paint, it was chaos as far as the art world was concerned, and certainly much of the American public.
Right. That's, to me, that is at the heart of the photograph. When I was a kid, my father took me to the Museum of Modern Art, and he looked at Pollock, and he said, anybody could do that, right? And that's what I thought, too. I thought, what is that? Spatters and so on. But, I don't know, 50, 60 years later, we look at the kind of fractured spattering of paint as an emblem of modern consciousness. And so this woman, who appears to be gazing at chaos, is in fact gazing at the invented heart of modern experience.
The woman in this painting seems to have a kind of devotion. She seems to be responding less to the work itself, and it's hard to know, of course, what's going on in her mind, but to the art itself than the idea of the art, that the fact that this art brought us into a new idea about what art can do.
I agree completely, and in fact, this is a photograph about reverence. It is not a photograph about Pollock. Her position, I have no business, first of all, going into any museum and just photographing an artwork in black and white. It's not supposed to be done. What I can do, however, is photograph someone responding to an artwork, and that's where the meaning of the photograph lies. So this is, in my mind, a photograph about devotion and reverence. It's not actually a photograph about Pollock.
John, when did you first decide that taking photos of people in art museums would be a good idea, a good source of your art?
Basically, when I realized I couldn't photograph people who were reading books. The chief experiences in my life have really come through literature, and when I read Faulkner or Conrad or Joyce or Doris Lessing, the experience that I had was inward, and it couldn't be visualized. But as a photographer, I realized, well, I could actually go and photograph people in museums who are experiencing art, and I can't think of anything more interesting than someone who is entering into the portal and is likely to encounter a new consciousness.